Abraham. Abraham and Sarah lived by faith. So turn with me, that's in page 1875, your pew Bibles. And we're looking at verses 8 to 16, a longer passage here. And as you have that open, let's come first to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us examples, people who have lived by faith in you, a God who is faithful. And that is our desire, is to not only live like they lived, but to live in our own personal faith in you as those who could even be commended by you, as those who lived by faith. So, Father, will you instruct us again by this example of Abraham and Sarah and apply these words to our lives, that we would be a people that truly live by faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 16. Now, hear the reading of God's perfect and holy word. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, we long for God's promise. And if I were to use myself as an example, or my family as an illustration of living by faith, it's a little bit precarious to do that, because you don't want to highlight your life as a great example. But if you are giving illustration that points to God's faithfulness, then that is what we have here. And all these people who are mentioned, it's not their faith that we want to ultimately look at, but it's the faith of God in whom they believed. And we have looked at Abel, Enoch, Noah, and today Abraham as examples of faith. And so that is our study. And so to begin, even before getting into Abraham, I would like to give an example on how, in many ways, I relate to this man as someone who was called to go to a place that was very foreign. And for those who are not familiar, long ago, and actually 2000, not that long ago, God dramatically called me to Sudan, a place that I had just heard about in 1999, a year earlier. It was not through an audible voice like Abraham heard God's call in his life, but it was so strong of a call that I had to obey. I had to go to this place. And if I didn't go, it was disobedience. It was so clear to me. And also, when God called me to marry my wife, Julie, that was also a question of obedience. And I'm thankful she said yes. And it was not only now myself, but it was also my beloved wife that we are responding to that call to Sudan. And my priorities have not always been straight. God first, my wife second, and ministry third. But that is part of the call. God first, then my wife, and then ministry. But that was a call for all of us to go. The first visit to South Sudan was 2002. It was the tail end of our honeymoon. And we visited this small little village called Parat. And we were introduced in this village by the elders of Wanjuk, a nearby town, to this land that was offered to us as the place where we could live. And we visited several times, 2003, 2005, but it wasn't until 2006 where we actually began to live there and build our homes, not permanent homes in the least. I think Abraham's tents were probably more permanent than our grass and mud homes. Like Abraham, we were strangers in a foreign land. And yet, our experience there could be very much like Abraham. It couldn't have been more different. I think our experience here in Canada and that experience in South Sudan are polar opposites in terms of if contrasting those two countries. But that's the call of a missionary, is to go to a foreign land, to go to a land where God shows you. And it's a calling with a clinging to God's promise as you go. And what is the calling in to God's promise, the covenant promise for all missionaries? It's from Genesis chapter 12. If you turn with me in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to see what that calling is. Not just to one man, but it's to all people who are called to go. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Here's a promise. So that's the calling, to leave and go. Then here's a promise, a covenant promise. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." This is a promise that promoted this man initially called Abram, which means exalted father, when he received the promise. And then he was going to be called Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. And this came with a call and the promise. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 16, we have a commentary on the life of this man, Abraham, and how he lived by faith in his response to his calling and to the covenant promise. Abraham was a quintessential example for us. Not a perfect example, but a great example illustrating for us what it means to live by faith. I have 2 points here. We learn from Abraham that by faith, we long for a better country and city. We'll see that in verses 8 to 10 and also 13 to 16. And secondly, by faith, we consider God faithful to his promise. We see that in verses 11 and 12. So firstly, by faith, we long for a better country and city. How did Abraham respond to God's call to go to that land that God would show him? When we go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, we see that Abraham responded. He went. It said, "So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot, who was his nephew, went with him. And Abraham at that time was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all possessions that he accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. They set out to the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." And if you know your Bibles well, you may be a little bit confused there. Why is Abram in Haran? Well, you might think, I thought when God called him, he was in Ur of Chaldees. Do you recognize that there may be a discrepancy there? It's not, actually. Because Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, when he preaches to the Jews, the Hebrews, he actually recounts the story of the Hebrew people, and he mentions Abraham at the beginning here, and he gives us clarity on where was Abraham when he received the call, and why was he in Haran, and before he finally made it to the land that God promised. So here's Stephen preaching, telling the history of their people. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to Father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, saying, leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. Where did God say that? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And if you notice there in verse 1, it says, had said. Past tense. He said that before he was in Haran. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. This is Stephen's preaching here. After the death of his father, Terah, God sent him to the land where you are now living, and gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, your descendants will be strangers in a country not your own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, as he continues to tell the story of the Hebrew people. Abraham's obedience, from what we learned from this, was a little bit delayed because he spent some time in Haran. He didn't go immediately from Ur of Chaldees to the promised land, but he spent some time in Haran. And I tell my children that delayed obedience is disobedience. And the point is, with Abraham, is that he lived by faith, and yet he was not a perfect example of one who lived by faith, and yet he did, by faith, continue to go to that land that God called him. God is patient and gracious, reminding Abraham of that calling to continue on, to go to that place that God promised him. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that he eventually went by faith. Verse 8, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. God didn't give him a map saying, this is where you're going. He just went. And Abraham obeyed and went. And then in verse 9, again, by faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. As going back to how God called us to Sudan, and we didn't, in a sense, we knew where we were going on the map. We knew that when we had to get a plane ticket, we knew the destination, thankfully. And Abraham, who didn't have actually a plane to board and a trip, you know, from Ur of Chaldees, I don't know, Air, Promised Land, with a stop in Haran, there wasn't anything like a map where he knew where he was going. But for us, when we went, we didn't know what we were coming to. It was a foreign land. Talk about the foreignness of that land. Foreign food, language, living accommodations, weather, people. It was foreign, completely foreign to us. But that was a place that God would show us. And I remember one evening praying, well, several actually, many times before, the night before, the eve before getting on a plane, a charter plane, to go into South Sudan. We did that many times. And I would pray, we'd pray together, Lord, we are doing this for you. You called us to this, and we're just doing this out of obedience. It was pure obedience. And that's how faith is demonstrated. Abraham probably prayed similar prayers. Lord, I'm just obeying your call to follow you wherever you lead me. Imagine with the tents and the camels and the caravan and just moving every day, just going where God was leading. All of us have been in similar places in life. We know that God is calling us to something, but it is unknown. It is foreign. We don't know what it is. But faith means to go, to move forward in obedience. And we know that it is going to be good, and it actually will be better than anything that we could ever think or imagine. But you will not know until you go. Until you go out into the unknown, into the foreign, and live by faith. Yet, for Abraham, once he was in the promised land, he was there realizing that that land that was promised to him was not it. There was something better still to be received. There's a better place. In verse 10 it says, Hebrews 11, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham and all the people that are mentioned here as people of faith in Hebrews 11 were looking beyond the promises that they had received. They were living by faith in God's best. Because when you read Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, that I'll read right now, listen to these words. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. These people, not just Abraham, all had the same experience. They saw themselves as strangers and aliens on earth. Verse 14, people who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. They were on a pilgrimage to a country as well. Verse 15, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Not just Abraham, but all these people who live by faith were longing for a better place, a country, a city prepared by God. And what is that country, children? What's the country that they were longing for? Is it on planet Earth? It's heaven. Okay, I see a definite no. It's not here. It's a city as well. It's a country with a city. And what is that city called? If you're going there, you need to know its name. The New Jerusalem. And it's not the Jerusalem that we know today on the map. It's Zion. It is not a foreign country. It is home. It is not a city designed or built by human hands. It is a city designed and built by God. There's no place on earth that we will find such a country and city. The magazines that are advertising heaven on earth are lies. That is not what we're looking to go to for our vacation. We're looking to another place. If we say the phrase, there's no place like home, home is that country and that city. We have actually two homes, 854 Melfa and 64 Parat, where we used to live. Well, it's still our home there. When I walk into our home, I have that sense, that is home. And you may have lived in the same house most of your life. Or you may have moved so much that it's hard to answer the question, where is your home? Because you've had so many different homes. One missionary kid, we asked him the question, where is your home? He said, it's where my bed sheets are. Or, you may be like these people who live by faith, knowing that there's no home on earth here. There is a better place that they call home. And if you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, you are, this is your identity, you are a stranger and you are a foreigner on earth. You are wandering from one house, one place to the next. This place, planet Earth, is not your home. Like those who live by faith, we admit, like these people did, that they are strangers and foreigners on earth. And we look to that country which is your inheritance. And you long for that place where the grass is actually greener. The place where God has prepared for you. It's a permanent place. It's a lasting place. It's a city where you will live forever if you are a Christian. This city is a new heavens and a new earth. It's not temporary like the tents that Abraham lived in and moved around living in. As Hebrews 13:14 says, it's a lasting city. It has a foundation that is permanent. We long for it, to see it, even though we welcome it from a distance. And it's for us who are young, maybe that home is far, many years ahead, or for those who are older, in their latter years, where they're nearing home, we look to Christ, living by faith, who is the way to that place, and who is the one who will lead us home. Secondly, we live by faith. As we learn from this example of Abraham's faith, we see a faithful God. By faith, we consider God faithful to his promise. In Genesis chapter 17, we continue the story through the chapters in Genesis about Abraham. By this time, he's 99 years old, and God gave Abraham his new name at this point. Abram, his new name, Abraham, and promised him a son. And his wife Sarai was also given a new name, Sarah. And the promise in Genesis 17, verse 16 is this: I will bless Sarah so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of peoples who will come from her. When Abraham and Sarah heard the promise of a son, this is how they responded. First of all, we find Abraham on his face. And he laughs. And he says to himself, will a son be born to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at 90? And when Sarah overheard the promise herself from three visitors, and one of them was the Lord, this is how she responded. And let me read from Genesis chapter 18. A longer passage here. Sarah's response to the promise. Genesis chapter 18, verses 10 to 15. Whoops, on Exodus. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you, about speaking to Abraham, about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. She was 90. She sure was. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out, my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. And here Sarah is commended for one who lived by faith. This is a miracle. Here we have Abraham and Sarah, well past the ability to conceive a child, and a miracle happens. Both Sarah and Abraham are unable to conceive. Sarah conceives, and God grants this miracle because of their faith. Verse 11, this is by faith. Abraham, in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And then in verse 12, Abraham, so that this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, countless as the sand on the seashore. This man who was good as dead, God did a miracle. This man was 99 years old. This woman was 90. God did a miracle. And they consider God to be faithful to do it. They did not waver in believing. It seemed as though they did it not? Sarah laughing and then lying about it. Well, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 and 21 commends Abraham for his faith. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became a father of many nations, just as it had been said, so shall your offspring be. That was the promise. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact, and here's the quote in Hebrews 11, that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Abraham and Sarah considered God faithful and able to do what he had promised. From Abraham and Sarah, we have Isaac. Do you know what Isaac, the name Isaac, what it means, children? So apropos, it means laughter. It means laughter. God's gracious. Covenant promise was beginning to be fulfilled in this son, Isaac. And God reconfirmed the promise of being Abraham to be the father of a multitude in Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 16. This is following Abraham's test to take that very promised son and to offer him up as a burnt offering. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 15 and 16, verse 16, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, here's the promise, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand in the seashore. Again, the writer to the Hebrews, quoting from Genesis, that by faith, Abraham was rewarded with one offspring, that will be the first of a multitude. That's where he gets his name, the father of a multitude. And yet he only had one son. But he had an inheritance in that son. Descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies, countless as the sand on the seashore. And that blessing to Abraham, that he would be the father of faith of a multitude, was not ultimately in his son. Even though he might have looked at his son and thought this was the fulfillment of the promise, it was just the beginning. Because the Bible says that it says one seed, but that seed is not speaking of Isaac, it's speaking of Christ. That it's through Christ that the blessing would spread to all the nations. That's how Abraham would be the father of all the nations, is through Christ, the father of faith of a multitude. And by faith, as Abraham did, we consider God to be faithful to his promise. And why should we not? If God has been faithful to Abraham, and we see the evidence of that, not in one son, but in a multitude of people who have come to Jesus and received that blessing in him, why would we not believe all of God's promises? That God is faithful, to consider him faithful with all of his promises. It's so evident, the abundantly demonstrating his faithfulness in that promise to Abraham. Knowing how faithful our God is, how should we live? We live by faith in him, in his faithfulness. Just as Abraham was called to live by faith and we're called to live by faith. Remember these two things as we close. By faith, longing for a better country and city, and by faith, considering God faithful to his promise. Join with me as we pray together. Yes, God, you are faithful. And we believe. We will believe in you all the days of our life. We will believe you for your promises of a better country, a city that you are preparing for us. We will believe that you and consider that you are faithful to the end in all your promises to us. Oh, Father, will we not be like those who waver in unbelief, but those who consider you faithful and are strengthened in faith? When we consider the examples of faith, when we consider all the things that you have done in our lives to fulfill your promises, will you enable us to do even those things which seem impossible to us? And that we would even go into those places that are unknown and foreign to us. Father, it's all by faith in you. We look to you in all things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to pray those things that